Good. You ready to go?
Rocking and rolling, man. I am ready to rock and roll. Nate's got this. What we got? 45 minutes? We got this. No problem.
All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140. We've got college football starting this weekend. If you could only watch one game this weekend, are you watching Alabama, Florida State?
Darn right. Got to see it. You know, you want to see what they look like, first of all. I think you kind of know what Alabama is and usually what they does. They're one of the top four teams, obviously, in the country. But I really want to see Florida State and see, you know, they've lost a couple players. What did they bring back? What are they going to be this year? But that one, I think, holds a big place. I'll be tuned in for sure.
I'm curious, when we get to November, if there's going to be one team, and that one team last year was Penn State. Nobody thought Penn State would be in the national championship picture, and they were right there on the doorstep. And, you know, when you look at college football, I just wonder, you know, who's going to jump up that no one's really talking about? You know, Washington was that team last year, too. They were right in the thick of things, you know, for most of the season. So, and they did make it. You know, they lost to Alabama, and no one thought Washington at the beginning of the year last year. Don't you think Penn State and Washington were the two teams that people did not expect to be there? And Washington was, and Penn State was on the doorstep.
Well, once Washington started rolling, I was like, okay, Penn State is one that, when we were talking yesterday, Grant, that absolutely shocked me because of all of the things that that school has been through and penalties that they received. And they stay true, and they have made it happen. They have turned it around. This year, because last year this same team was high in the rankings and then absolutely fell out, was the USC Trojans. And this year they're starting, some people have them at three, some people have them at four, but they are right up there. Is that just Sam Darnold based? Did they reload on the offense? Do they have a good defense? I am interested to see what the Trojans bring to the table this year.
All right. Well, I know a lot of people think that they are national championship caliber.
Yes.
And listen, I'm not saying that they're not, but there are some that we've had on that think there might be a tad bit overrated. I don't know enough about the landscape of college football other than what I read to say that they're overrated. In other words, we're dealing with 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-old, you know, men for boys. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. There's a lot of variables involved, but I'll tell you this, they have a dynamic quarterback.
Oh, boy, do they ever. And another team that has Heisman-worthy maybe quarterback in Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma Sooners, Bob Stoops steps down. But when you look at them, Grant, many, many times, and this is in Bob Stoops' era, they get there, and then they kind of just fall flat. They can never push through. And they're ranked 7 right now. And what are they going to be? You know they always have a boatload of talent, but is this a team that is going to – you know, when you look at this, there are so many questions in that top 10, top 25, and you mentioned it. There are going to be some teams that are probably towards the bottom of this top 25 that are going to move up. Michigan, will they be hard-hitting? Can they make some things happen? Yesterday when we were talking online, they mentioned the Miami Hurricanes and the fact that they could go maybe 11-1, something like that. So a lot of teams. And then you got, and this is something that you brought up, Grant, a Heisman Trophy winner in Lamar Jackson that might be the most underrated coming back. Louisville Cardinals, 18, always kind of hanging around, and they move up into the top 10 but can't break through. What will they do?
All right. Which game are you most interested in seeing this weekend in college football? Again, you know, this is, even though college football did begin, this is what everyone is, you know, looking for, you know, and I know locally Sacramento State's opening up their season against Idaho tonight, but, you know, when you talk about the big games, you know, we go right to September 2nd. I still can't believe that tomorrow's the last day of August. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But, you know, when you look at the schedule, you've got, you mentioned Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They are in Arlington at Jerry's World to take on Florida. So Michigan and Florida.
That's
so
a good one.
That is going to be a good one. Two top 20 teams right off the get-go. And I think, you know, again, you have Florida State, you have Alabama in that brand new stadium in Atlanta. That's at 2 o'clock our time, I believe.
Yeah.
I'll double check that, but I think so. And so, actually, I take that back. It's 5 o'clock our time.
Okay. Hey, you know another one, Grant, Louisville and Purdue. I mean, Purdue isn't a team that can get ran over if Louisville is going to be able to do something this year, starting out, seeing if you can beat a team that is competitive some years.
And then Jake Browning begins his third season on the road Friday against Rutgers.
Yeah, that
You go out and you play your games. He's missing his speedy receiver Ross, who went into the NFL.
Yep.
And you know, I love the early part of college football in particular, and I say that because there's just so much. I think we're so starved for football when the fall comes. You just can't wait. You just want any of it. You know?
And the other thing that makes it so interesting is they go. You've seen so many years, Grant, where the rankings mean so much at the beginning of the year. So those teams that are ranked in the top 10, let's just say the top 25, it is imperative that you get off to a good start because, yeah, will there be a team or two that make it maybe with one or two losses in the playoff? Yeah, but most times, I mean, you get past one or two losses and you're out of it. So do you got to win early? Do you got to get ready to go? There is no preseason, you know, like the NFL. So these teams have to come out and be ready to throw them right off the bat.
All right. So if you could watch one game, are you choosing the big game with number one and number three, or are you looking at a game like Michigan and Florida, or is there another game you're keeping your eyes on? I know here locally a lot of people will watch Jake Browning
mm-hmm.
on Fox Sports 1, Washington and Rutgers. A lot of people, you know, there's always tons of USC fans. There's tons of Notre Dame fans. It's that time of year.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday, we'll be talking NFL football, and we'll have the game for you with Kansas City and New England.
Kansas City, New England, starting it off.
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah, that should be a humdinger as well. But when you talk about Jake Browning and Washington facing the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers, and you do it on the road, are you ready? You mentioned your long threat in Ross that is gone. What can the Huskies do? And a lot of these games, Grant, I think that you get a good feeling for where a team is at, especially like you got Penn State at Akron. Those type of games tell you a lot about that team, and that's where you'll see them starting to fluctuate and move up and down in the rankings.
All right, so we got college football, again, really getting going tomorrow. And a few games tonight, but tomorrow, and then, of course, right on in through the weekend, you have a chance to watch one game, all right? One game, then which game are you going to choose? One game this weekend, which one are you going to watch? 339-1140, 800-920-1140, and we'll be right back after this. All right, we've got two segments left. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, I was talking about U.S. Open tennis.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one can name an American.
Yep.
And I got home.
I see.
And I was following Twitter, and they're like, oh, my gosh, the Federer match against – I can't even remember who he was playing.
I can't either. But
and
I,
it has gone to a fifth set, and I'm like, I don't care.
He's
and
American.
Then, and then they're like, it's tied in the fifth set of whatever, and I'm like – I got to check this out. And yeah. I watched the final two games of that match.
Who won? I didn't
Federer
see.
Federer won.
He won.
Yeah. He broke serve to win the fifth set 6-4.
Yeah, I can't remember where I was at. And after we talked about that, and I looked up at the TV, and I just went,
I know, right?
We just talked about this. And here's I seen the American flag, and I'm looking at Federer, and I'm like, the kid won the first set.
Yes, he won. And then I think
Federer came back.
I think he won sets 2 and 3, 2 and 1, if I'm not mistaken. He dominated and then lost this fourth set. And the fifth set was, from what I understand, Federer had a serve broken. His opponent saved a couple of match points.
Wow.
And then actually, Federer broke serve to win the match.
That is, he has been just absolutely incredible this year, man. He's a fountain of youth I believe, yep. is what we want to say.
But you know what's sad? It's sad that we're talking about an event, and we were talking about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here less than 24 hours later. I can't remember the guy's name. Can you?
TFO. I'm not sure of his first name. So
but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, totally. And you're right. It's a shame. But give the kid some credit. I mean, he went out and he Frances TFO. And I probably absolutely butchered his name. So wherever you're at, Frances, first of all, congratulations. Second of all, I apologize.
He wouldn't say, he'd say, I lost. You congratulated me. Well, no, I know what you mean. I'm kidding you. You know that.
You put a good showing, man. I mean, Federer's no, you don't want to be playing with him. I mean, championship point, take you out to the deep water. I mean, Federer's first set loses 4-6. 6-2, 6-1, loses 1-6, and then wins 6-4.
You know, that just shows you how, I mean, think about this. Federer wins the third set 6-1.
Yes.
And then loses the fourth set 6-1. You know what I mean? Like, that's just unbelievable.
It absolutely is. I'll have to go back. I'm sure that on Tennis Channel and the ones that I tune into, they run stuff like this back. I'll have to tune in and watch that because you're right. To lose that way.
I mean, think about that. He goes 6-2, 6-1. You got the match in complete control.
You're rolling.
And then you lose 6-1.
Yeah. I mean, the losing 6-1, Grant, you're about to close it out.
Right.
And you lose 6-1? Wow.
First round for Federer, and he had to go the distance.
Well, that might be I would say, you know, Federer's getting a little long in the tooth, so that could be tough for him.
It sure could. You're darn right. Yeah. You know, attrition is a big deal in these tournaments.
No doubt.
Anyway, I've got the – just so you know, I switched on to a little tennis so I can say that I watch more than two games of a match, all right?
Okay. I first of all, I can deal with that. Second of all, man, no Yankees on, huh?
Ah. Nope. They were on earlier today, and they lost 2-1 in the first game that was on national TV. I'm still waiting for the M's to come on, but I don't see them.
Hey, don't you worry about that. Playoffs are coming. You know what? Was that with Ian Eagle that we were talking about? Or no, that was with the other guy. It was a doubleheader, and the guy got thrown out both.
Earl Weaver, one of the great managers in the history of baseball.
You get thrown out in both?
Before the game started. You can look it up. Ron Luciano threw him out at home plate as they bring out the lineup cards.
Come on, man. What did he say, here's my lineup card? Boop.
You know, I'm not sure what he said.
but he said something.
Because Earl, unfortunately, is not with us anymore, but yeah, I mean, that was Earl Weaver for you.
That's incredible, man. See, those are the things that, it's baseball.
I used to go to the games in Baltimore in the summertime.
How would you?
Because when I was in college, when I went to play lacrosse in college, our entire team was either from Long Island or Baltimore.
Okay.
And a lot of my friends were from Baltimore. And so I used to go to Baltimore whenever the Yankees were down there, and we would go to the games. And this is when the Yankees and the Orioles were both very good. I mean, you had Jim Palmer throwing for the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
I mean, he's one of the great pitchers in the history of baseball. Mm-hmm. The Orioles were really good, really good. And the Yankees were really good. And the fans, I mean, it was
nasty.
I don't know if I would use the term nasty. I would say ultra competitive in the stands.
Okay.
And it was like you weren't there to just watch a baseball game. It was more than just a baseball game.
I got you.
Okay. It was
my type of environment.
Right. It was, you know, yes. So it was a small city like Baltimore, the big boys from New York.
Okay.
You know, the Yankees with all of their stars.
David and Goliath.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And yet the Orioles were really good. You know, they had some phenomenal players during that era for the Orioles.
That we were talking about that the other day, Grant, about the different fields that have opened up. So that must have been their old ballpark.
Oh yeah, and that's where the Baltimore Colts played. Johnny Unitas played in that stadium.
Oh wow.
Burt Jones, the quarterback, played in that stadium. You know, Bubba Parris played in that stadium. You know, all the great players in that era played in that stadium.
So that was when it was a multi-purpose stadium.
Well, it was
and
football
now,
and it was baseball.
Okay.
All the stadiums back then were multi-purpose. They were very, very, very few stadiums back in that era that either was just a football or just a baseball. Most of the stadiums were both baseball and football stadiums.
And you're talking about a different era, right?
Well, I mean, you think
the reason is because they have a stadium right here in Oakland that they still use
yes,
that philosophy.
It's the only one.
I know it.
So I would call the series that I'm talking about in the 70s a different era.
No,
yes.
No doubt.
I mean, at the old Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. And, you know, it was in a neighborhood. The stadium was, you would be driving and you're like, wow, there's the stadium. I announced a football game in that stadium one year.
Those are special places, man.
Yeah.
As a kid. Where the Seattle Pilots played.
Yep.
It's right down in the neighborhood. I mean, like,
yeah,
in the neighborhood, Grant. It's not downtown. You ride the bus, and you go right by it.
That's what people love about Lambeau Field. It's literally, like,
yeah, there
part
are houses
of the neighborhood.
Yeah. That I saw. Did you see that special?
Yes.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Yep.
The people go right in their house, and Lambeau is, like, right behind the house.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's a different feeling, and that's what made a lot of those parks and places special, I'm sure, for the players as well.
I mean, Wrigley Field's like that. If you've ever been to Wrigley Field?
No, I haven't been to Wrigley.
It's just right in the
yet.
Middle of a neighborhood. I mean, it really is. It's right in the middle of, you know, apartment buildings and, you know, restaurants and bars. I mean, it's just part of the neighborhood on the north side.
Man, that's a good feeling. Well, now they put bleachers on the back of the apartments, on the roofs back there, and all types of stuff. And I believe they're charging
for
those.
They are. Yeah. That's correct.
Hey, you know, multi-income. Yeah.
But, I mean, I used to love going to those old stadiums. And again, that was before you knew what you knew. You didn't. There was no opulent stadiums back then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were all like that. So it wasn't like, gee, I wish we had a brand new stadium.
More nostalgic.
Yeah.
That's what I got when I went to Yankee Stadium. I was just like,
yep.
Okay, this is old, but wow.
It was just like, it was a wow.
Yeah.
It was like when you went to play the Celtics.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
You walked in, there was a wow.
It was.
When
Boston
you went to
Garden.
Go to Chicago Stadium.
Yep.
And you walked up those stairs.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming.
But you should be thankful that you were a basketball player, not a hockey player, because
up those stairs on skates?
Down the stairs after guys got hit in the ankle with pucks and their foot would be numb and they would have to hop down the stairs.
On a blade.
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, not a chance.
No, I'm serious. Think about that. I talked to Jeremy Roenick about that many times because he was a longtime Blackhawk. I said to him, I go, Jeremy, I would think that had to be a hell of a walk sometimes. And he was like, man, you have no idea.
Yeah.
He goes, that was brutal.
I would tell you, probably no scooting down the stairs on your butt, though.
You know what? I bet you there were some times because there were some guys that couldn't walk after games, and I don't know how else you would get down.
Yeah, you don't want
remember
your
that?
Buddies to
well,
see
I always
that.
Tell you, you know, when Frank Layden coached the Utah Jazz, he called the walk from the bus to the locker room at Chicago Stadium the toughest 10 yards in basketball.
That's about right. That's the old school.
Yeah, my first time ever doing a Kings-Bulls game in 1988. I was on the bus.
Yeah, Michael Jordan's rookie year, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know if it was his rookie year or not. I got to check on that. But I will tell you this. We're on the bus. I'm on the bus early. There's only like three or four of us on there. And we got sideswiped by a car, okay? And the police were chasing a car. And I'm like, okay.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yep. That was in a bad area. That area has been changed completely now. But
no doubt.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Sports 1140. Final segment. Grant Napier, Doug Christie.
Man, they play that music right there to let you make it through the final segment, get you hyped, huh?
Does that get you hyped?
Well, it makes you want to slam dance or something, that's for sure.
I don't dance.
Oh, slam dancing isn't really dancing.
Oh, okay.
It's violence, kind of.
Oh, it's violence?
Oh, well, you just kind of
do that either.
You're just kind of bumping into everybody.
Oh, okay.
You seen that one?
Yeah, I have actually.
A few elbows, Napes.
Few elbows?
I'm just saying.
I did play hockey.
Ah, there
you
go. You
know, we got the elbows going.
I don't think they have that at Earth, Wind, and Fire concerts.
That's very funny.
Hey, Chris, it's glad to see that you're alive in there, my friend.
Yeah,
thanks
right?
for joining us.
Exactly.
No, I
want to see if Chris is going to the Republic play this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it's supposed to be 110 on Saturday.
Yeah.
Hey,
are you going to the game?
Wear your scarf.
No, I'm serious. Did you know that it's supposed to be 110 on Saturday? So I was just curious, and I really mean this. I can't even imagine how difficult that would be. Forget about, you know, the players. I don't know. I mean, and again, when the match starts on the pitch.
Well done, Napier.
It's probably not going to be 110, but it's going to be dang hot.
I think I heard it's going to be like high 90s.
Okay.
At the start.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, he said match and pitch. That was pretty good, huh?
It's better than me.
Right?
Hey, Nate, I like how your sports vocabulary is increasing.
I'm good, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
All right, so the weather on Saturday is the high of 110. So here's the deal. All right, and again, I'm not complaining because I'm watching the news of Houston, so I'm keeping things in perspective, but I don't live in Houston. I live here, and I'm watching the news to see what's going on in area.
Right.
But 110 is brutal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we know because we were out at the golf tournament. We were in 108, and boy, that is.
Well, I'm looking at the excessive heat warning from the National Weather Service. Daytime highs will range from 110 to 115 across much of the Central Valley. That's unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Chris, what time's the match start? 8, right?
Yeah.
8 p.m.?
So,
and they might push it back if it's going to be really hot. So.
Yeah, you know what? They probably should.
Yeah. Hey, get you another scarf.
Chris, you wearing your scarf?
Wrap up.
I don't think I'll be wearing my scarf that day.
You know?
Really?
Maybe we could get them to do it at like 7 in the morning. I think that would be worth it.
The game, the match at 7 in the morning?
Yeah, if we get it there, it won't be that hot then.
That's true.
Yeah, it'd only be like 85.
85 people
no,
at the game?
85. Degrees.
Sorry, match.
No,
excuse me.
Listen, if they're having a soccer game, people are coming, Grant.
Match. Soccer match.
Look at you.
You know, I might go. What time's the game?
8 o'clock.
A.M. or P.M.?
All right, here's the deal.
Okay.
What are you talking about, 80? Well, of course it's at 8 p.m.
We're just talking about helping with the heat.
Come on, would you please?
It's a weekend game. Who knows?
Northwest, the winds are going to be really blowing hard at 5 miles per hour.
Get a nice breeze through there, huh?
Man.
Are you going?
You know what? I may go.
You got to hook up on the suite, or are you going
no,
tickets?
I don't, come on, suite. What's wrong with
you? Oh, you're sitting out with the common folk?
I go on the field.
My bad. We went from suite to seat.
I like being on the pitch right next to the action.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might get some slide tackle.
Chris sits with the Tower Bridge Battalion. I can't handle that. I'm too old for that. Chris, you don't have people my age up there, do you?
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple.
Yes, yes, Chris, yes.
Is there really?
Yeah, there's a couple of people.
As old as me?
They're in their 50s.
Oh, wow. All right, well.
Hold on. Grant's not in his 50s. He's in his 40s. Tell it right. Something wrong with your microphone, Napier?
I haven't been in my 40s in quite a while. Let's get to Gary. Hello, Gary. How are you?
Hey, Grant. Hey, I was just reminiscing in my mind when you were talking about the Baltimore Orioles with Jim Palmer pitching.
And absolutely.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they have one year where they had 40 guys who each won 20? Four guys, excuse me, who each won 20 games?
They sure did.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Mike Flanagan was on that staff, right? Remember him?
He said four guys?
You know what? No, I think it was Palmer, Dave McAnally.
Yeah,
Mike
McAnally
Mayer,
was on that
Pat
staff.
And I think we're the four.
They
I
were.
Think Flanagan was a little bit after.
Oh, was he? My bad. I thought he was on that staff too.
You know, he may have been, but I don't think he was one of the 420.
All right, my bad. I thought he was.
Anyway, those were some good times. It seemed like every team had, you know, one or two stud pitchers, and you know they were all going 8-9 innings a game. It was really different.
You know, you know Flanagan. You're right, because that now that I'm thinking about it, you're going back to the early 70s. I was thinking more late 70s, but you're right. That I'm looking it up right now because I wanted to be accurate on here. That was 1971, and you're right. It was McNally 21 and good job on your part, Gary. Palmer 20-10, ERA of 2.71. McNally 21-5, ERA of 2.89. Dobson was 20-8 with a 2.90. Can you name the fourth, Gary? So we got
just named. I think it was Mike Cuellar, Dave McInally, Pat Dobson, and Jim Palmer, right?
Yeah, I thought so. But I'm looking at this story, and I thought it was Mike Cuellar too. But Cuellar wasn't spelled C-U-E-L-L-A-R. I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, it was.
Is that how he spelled his name?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I thought he had a Q in his name. But I'll tell you this. Now, think, Gary, about that. Think about, and you know what else, Gary? I don't have it in front of me. Out of those 80 games that were won, I wonder how many of those guys went the distance and pitched complete games. Out of the 80, I bet you the percentage would be very high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll bet a lot because, you know, McInally and Palmer were power pitchers.
Yep.
And the other two guys were kind of throwing a whole mixture of stuff. So, yeah, I'll bet you're right. I'm trying to think of who the reliever was back then.
Do you remember really they lost to the Pirates that year when Roberto Clemente was on the Pirates in the World Series?
And, you know, I mean, what a stud that guy was.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and listen, I remember
why. Could you imagine the total weight of the two first basemen there between Boob Powell and Willie Stargell?
Well, listen, listen to this. I mean, you think about that infield, and I don't even need to look this up, but you had the great Brooks Robinson at third, and you had Mark Belanger at short.
Right.
I mean,
right.
And
who was at second? Didn't they have a
Davey Johnson was at second on that team.
That's right. Yep. That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Hey, listen, good way to end the show, Gary. Good job.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You too. All right, speaking of baseball, it's coming up next right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.